The Central Bank of Nigeria raises rates again. From over 1,400 cities and 140 countries, we bring you the Good Morning Africa podcast. Good morning, Africa, and welcome aboard your pulse on everything business in Africa. I am Ritha Dong. For more, follow us on Twitter at The Key Financial News, and you can find me at Ritha Dong. Your main story is brought to you by BK Capital, Rwanda's investment powerhouse. Elevate your franc investments with the Aguka Unit Trust Fund, offering impressive returns of up to 10.4%. Dive deeper into the world of this and more opportunities at www.bkcapital.rw. Many African countries struggle to collect an adequate amount of tax revenue to support needed investments in public service. In this episode, Assistant Commissioner, Public and Corporate Affairs at Uganda Revenue Authority, Ibrahim Bosa, tackles value-added tax collection and why Kenya is leading the pack in the East African region.
Currently, our VAT collection, given the entire revenue collection, it's contributing about 15%. And we have actually even just gotten to 15%. I think around about last year, it was about 13.5%. And yet, internationally and even regionally, VAT is one of the most productive taxes by its nature because, one, it is a consumption tax, and two, it's not paid by businesses per se. So businesses basically act as collectors of this tax at the end of the day. In Uganda, we have first challenges of adoption because the collection of VAT, when we introduced the IFRIS solution, is bringing a new way of working. It is bringing a new way of transparency. We have access to real-time data in transactions for VAT. We have access to third-party data. Third-party data meaning that if you're a business and you purchased somewhere, we will know. Because from the people you purchase, they would also file returns. If you made a sale somewhere, we would know even when you intend to misdeclare it. So that information helps us to be able to know what is going on within the ecosystem of VAT. So unfortunately, many businesses find themselves in a non-compliant position. One, if they fail to file returns, VAT is filed every 15th of the month following the month of consumption. Now, that level of compliance has caused some concerns for businesses. So many will fail to file returns, and failing to file a return, there are some penalties applicable. And sometimes if that penalty is also not paid, there are interests that may apply. So it has had its fair share of challenges. So that level of transparency is really something that I think is hitting back, and many businesses would not want to be seen as progressive businesses.
Okay, you also mentioned, or at least you explained why VAT numbers across the region are a lot better than ours. You mentioned Kenya, Tanzania, and Rwanda. What are these three countries doing differently that makes their VAT numbers?
Kenya has a more mature, call it industry or business. There are many businesses that are probably in the medium to large. Okay, they may also be grappling with the small traders, but you find that the contribution from the medium and large is very significant because of even the size of the economy. So I think it is one of the countries that first adopted the use of the system like IFRIS. And we have seen how well they've been able to perform. It is one of their best performing taxes. At least they are performing way over 35%. If you see Tanzania and Rwanda, there was political leadership in the implementation and easing the adoption. You'll find that people in Tanzania, when the late Excellency Magufuli was around, he did sit down with the business community who were grappling with the same dynamics as we are here, and he assured them that IFRIS is the future, IFRIS is the way to go. What can be discussed is how to help businesses to adopt. But this grappling of, I can't do it, it can't happen, it won't happen, was not a story. Because the political head had actually weighed in and stamped their foot and said, this is the direction we are taking as a country. It's the same thing that is happening in Rwanda. So you'll find that compliance is higher in those two areas compared to us. Here we are still government, the minister, or even the head of state, being able to reassure the business community that this is a method of work, it is the correct way we can work, moving the going to the future, and is one way we can each be able to contribute a fair share of what we ought to, especially given the fact that VAT is a consumption tax, and we are just collectors of this tax. So it is helping you to distinguish what is for the government from what probably is your business.
And a quick look at the markets. The market segment is powered by the Development Bank of Rwanda. We empower you. African Infrastructure Funding Specialist, the African Finance Corporation, has announced that it has successfully closed its largest ever debt facility. This is $1.16 billion US dollar syndicated loan, which had attracted new lenders from Asia, Europe, and the Middle East. The AFC's target had been $1 billion US dollars, but the facility had been upsized because it had been oversubscribed by 49%. The syndicated loan has a period of 3 years, and its success highlights the confidence of global investors in the AFC. The AFC's previous largest and now second largest syndicated loan was $625 million US dollars, was closed only last year. It was backed mainly by Middle Eastern and Asian lenders. Last year also saw the AFC secure a long-term credit line worth $350 million US dollars from the African Development Bank and a loan facility from Italy's Development Finance Bank, Cassa Depositi e Prestiti, worth 50 million euros, as well as a loan from the Exim Bank of China worth 400 million US dollars. And a quick trip around Africa, Zambia has reached an agreement with a group of private creditors on restructuring $3 billion US dollars of its international bonds in a major step that brings the country closer to emerging from its long-delayed debt rework. The latest deal proposes swapping Zambia's three existing instruments into two amortizing bonds, one of which would deliver high repayments if the country's economic outlook and capability of dealing with its debt burden improve. Zambia has defaulted more than 3 years ago and is reworking its debt under the Common Framework, a G20 platform to which together big creditors like China and the traditional group of developed credit nations like the Paris Club to ensure swift and smooth debt overhauls for low-income countries. Zambia is seen as a test case, but the process has been beset by long delays which have hamstrung much-needed investments, curtailed economic growth, and weighed on local financial markets. The situation has worsened amid a devastating drought that has been declared a national disaster, which has affected hydropower generation and food production. Zambia secured a $1.3 billion US dollar loan from the International Monetary Fund in 2022, which required it to restructure its debt with other creditors. The Central Bank of Nigeria raised its key monetary policy rate by 200 basis points to a fresh record high of 24.75% on March 26, 2024, in line with market forecasts, in an attempt to bring inflation under control. It follows a 400 basis points increase in the previous meeting, the biggest rise in borrowing costs in 17 years. Policymakers said they are convinced to continue with the tightening cycle. The annual inflation rate soared to a fresh 1996 high of 31.7% in February, mainly due to effects of oil subsidy removal and the devaluation of the Naira. The East African region is planning to set a common standard on goods across the bloc to fight counterfeits. The latest push follows an early attempt under the 2011 anti-counterfeiting bill that collapsed at the East African Legislative Assembly. It forced the region to operate under the East Africa Customs Act on counterfeit regulations. However, Kenya and Tanzania have now revived the push to reintroduce the 2011 legislation. Kenya's Anti-Counterfeit Authority and the Fair Competition Commission of Tanzania have announced joint efforts to disrupt and combat trade in counterfeit goods across the region. The partnership will see, among others, regulation change to harmonize the areas of conflict in the current laws of the two countries. According to OECD's 2018 report, counterfeiting represents one of the largest criminal enterprises globally, with estimated domestic and international sales ranging from $1.7 trillion US dollars to $4.5 trillion US dollars annually, surpassing even drug trafficking and human trafficking in scale. Thank you for always waking up with us. Good Morning Africa is a product of the K Financial. If you have suggestions or you just want to check out more stories, visit the website. That's thekfinancial.com. And don't forget to subscribe. You can also find us on all social media platforms at the K Financial. And you can find me at Withadong.